Dearly beloved in Christ, the most important unit in society is the family. And the perfect ideal of family life can be found in the Holy Family at Nazareth. This holy group fully realized that the nature and goal of the family is ordained by Almighty God. It was not primarily for the sake of love between husband and wife, nor the love of parents for their children, nor for the acquisition of wealth and material possessions, nor for the career advancement of the children, nor for the material prosperity of nations. Although these are all legitimate aims, none constitute the essential purpose of the family unit. The primary lesson to be learned for the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is that the first design of the family is for the salvation of souls. The family exists in order to help immortal souls get to heaven by safeguarding its members from evil and sin, by promoting and fostering the practice of virtue, and by teaching the eternal truths. Holy Scripture relates that the child Jesus grew in wisdom and age and grace in the eyes of God and men. In his book, Marriage and Parenthood, The Catholic Ideal, Thomas Gerard comments on this scriptural passage. Although possessing the beatific vision and consequently all wisdom, knowledge, and grace, yet Jesus deemed it expedient to acquire an experimental knowledge of things, to learn from St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary the great truths about religion and how to apply them to the development of the spiritual life. Jesus was the foundation of all grace. He was knowledge itself. But he chose that his wisdom, knowledge, and grace should be manifested gradually. He chose to undergo that laborious education to set the example to all Christian families, to show them that it was only by constant teaching and learning that Christian character can be formed. Parents are the first and primary teachers of their children. If you're diligent, you'll realize that first impressions are the most effective and the most lasting, and will assiduously labor to form Christian character in your children from the time of their infancy. This initial training is not so much done by word of mouth, but mostly by example. Children learn from and want to repeat what they see their parents doing. So be attentive to the fact that your children are learning from you even before you realize it. You're silently imparting the importance and the value of the Catholic religion and its practices as seen through your attitude toward it. Your commitment continues as you protect your children from morally harmful influences to which they're daily subjected by this immoral world. Children need to be corrected firmly, consistently, and lovingly when necessary, and edified both by instruction and by example. Your obligation extends to teaching your children the value and purpose of prayer and ensuring that your children receive a good Catholic education. Remember that you can only convince your children of what you yourself are convinced of. And you can only teach that which you yourself have knowledge of. Underlying all aspects of family life should be the ruling principle of love. However, it must be a well-ordered love. Order is said to be heaven's first law, but love is heaven's final command. Both must be present. Parents are firm and loving. For disordered love becomes sin. Because it is love of something contrary to the divine will, that's why it's sinful. Father Thomas Gerard described this true ordered kind of love when he wrote of Christ's example. In order to teach us this lesson, our Lord went down with his parents to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Nowhere outside of the bosom of the Blessed Trinity was a triple love so perfect as a love between Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Yet St. Joseph was the head and ruler of the family. It was St. Joseph who was told to fear not, but take Mary to be his spouse. It was St. Joseph who was told by the angel to arise and take the child and flee into Egypt with his mother. It was St. Joseph who was divinely commanded to return and to take Mary and Jesus to Nazareth. Although Mary was so much more spiritually exalted over St. Joseph. Yet St. Joseph was to be the ruler of the family. And although Jesus was so much spiritually exalted over St. Joseph and Mary, yet in the Holy Family, he was to be subject to both. Here then is the rule for the Catholic family. The father is to be the ruler, the head of the family. The mother is to rule in her sphere under him, for she is the heart of the family. And the children would be subject to both. My dearly beloved in Christ, moreover, the subjection of the children is not to be a slavish subjection, but a filial subjection. It must be informed by love rather than by fear. There must, of course, be a certain fear present in the children, but a reverential fear, a fear by which you're afraid of offending your parents because you love them, rather than a fear by which you're afraid of punishment. The obedience of children is not unlimited. If parents command anything contrary to divine law, the duty of the children is to disobey. Even adult children living at home must obey. For example, the time that they should come in at night after a date, or the daily chores they have to do, the family rules. Although the relationship between children and their parents is modified, older children and adults living at home are still obliged to love and respect their parents. While children must be free to choose their vocation, they're still obliged to consult their parents and draw from their wealth of wisdom and experience. Children are further obliged to help their parents in their old age and to support them in their necessities. My dearly beloved in Christ, our primary goal in life must be always to save our soul, to do all we can to assist our loved ones to go to heaven. We live in spiritually perilous times. Satan's traps and occasions of sin facing us and our family are so powerful that without special graces, we will lose our souls. We must spiritually strengthen and defend ourselves through devout prayer, cooperation with God's grace, avoiding all unnecessary occasions of sin, and living in union with Jesus and Mary. Why do so many of our children give up their faith when they get older? In some cases, this occurs because we do not lead a deep interior life of union with God ourselves. We cannot inspire others to strive to love God above all things unless we are fervent. Faced with so many spiritual dangers and tremendous peer pressure, our youth must be trained in the home to know, love, and serve God. Not with mere sentimental and external piety, but by a solid interior life of personal prayer, self-denial, and union with God. Sadly, too many Catholic parents work very hard so that their children are proficient in sports, music, and academics, but fail to provide for their spiritual formation. To miss Sunday football or soccer practice is inconceivable, but urge them to pray, and they say they have no time. They have their priorities all mixed up and exhaust themselves scurrying here and there, leaving their duty to God to fit in when there's time. Family prayer, especially the daily rosary, is regarded somewhat like the monthly bills. Necessary, but rather inconvenient. Many would be happy if they could do without it altogether. My dearly beloved in Christ, of course, the parents have no intention to totally abandon Mass, sacraments, and prayer, but they remain mere sentimental decorations like the furnishings in your homes. They fail to look upon daily, personal, and family prayer and the sacraments, especially Holy Communion and Confession, as a primary means of grace. Do not look upon prayer as their lifeline with God. My dearly beloved in Christ, in his final spiritual battle against God for mortal souls, Satan is using every means possible to deceive and ensnare you and your children. Almost every day, your children are exposed to the evil influences of drugs, alcohol, the occult, immorality, the New Age movement, and witchcraft. Satan seduces people, especially the youth, through self-indulgence and pride and sinful gratification. Vigilance and dedication, although extremely necessary for parents alone, will not give them the wisdom and strength necessary to successfully protect their children from the many satanic traps laid to ruin both their lives and then the souls of their children. Fervent prayer and penance will obtain many graces for you and your children. The devout recitation of the rosary will protect you and your children from sinning. The frequent reception of the sacraments and a strong interior life of union with God, together with the tender devotion of the Blessed Virgin Mary, provide them with the graces to withstand the ceaseless efforts of demons to cause their damnation. Entrust your children to Our Lady's care and place them under her mantle. Don't be discouraged in the very difficult work of raising your children. God will bless your efforts and assist you in countless ways. But when children choose to love habitual mortal sin and refuse to love God, then they are responsible. When the family is firmly established in its main purpose, each member cannot help but influence all with whom they come in contact when fulfilling their daily duties. Children will be moral examples for their peers. Mothers and wives will be role models for others, and fathers and husbands will be a light of dedication and faithfulness in an otherwise corrupt and unfaithful world. God will be reflected in each thereby, giving others a chance to have a glimpse of Him and turn their lives to follow. In closing, Father Thomas Girard masterfully summed up the principles of Catholic family life when he wrote, "The family is the foundation of the state, and the strength and purity of the state depend on the strength and purity of the family." And that's why our country is so corrupt. The family is being destroyed. The family, however, is not the foundation of the church, but is rather the child of the church, taking its instruction from the church and existing primarily for the same end as the church, namely the salvation of souls. It should therefore be Catholic in its faith, Catholic in its hope, and Catholic in its love. The Catholic faith will be fostered by ceaseless attention to the sacraments, to Catholic education during youth, and Catholic instruction during manhood. From Catholic faith and hope will spring Catholic love. This will be made ever more and more fruitful by being kept in order, the father and the mother ruling by love, and the children obeying through love. The endeavor must be made to carry the Catholic principles into the world of business and professions and to show to the non-Catholic world that religion and intellectual efficiency are not incompatible. Nay, to show that both by the observance of the law of religion, only by the observance of the law of religion, can the family and consequently the state achieve the perfection which it desires. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.